est sur location.
De quoi le sortir?
Location.
Welcome to Echolocation, the show that eavesdrops on Mother Nature. Right now, we're eavesdropping on a bunch of frogs called spring peepers that are singing all night in my neighborhood in Greene County, New York. And it's a sure sign that the warmer weather's coming when the peepers start their love songs. I sometimes think the whole reason I do this show is just to share the raucous spring soundscape of the woods and the wetlands around this time of year. Their noisy racket never ceases to amaze me after a long, quiet winter. So I thought I'd share a little bit with you all. This year marks the 10th anniversary of WGXC, and it's my fifth year producing Echolocation. So this evening, I thought we'd do a bit of a retrospective and look back at some of the ecological sound artists that we've featured on this show. So tonight, we'll be taking a bit of a history tour of environmental sound artists, featuring some of the female pioneers in the genre. But before we concentrate on sound art, I want to spend a little bit of time to introduce you to a really amazing pioneer in the field of bioacoustics, the study of animal communication, a woman by the name of Marie Poland Fish. Marie Poland Fish was a biologist and a pioneer in studying fish using hydrophones to listen to them underwater. And she was really into fish. She was so into fish that she actually married a guy named Fish who also studied fish, so she was truly immersed in her field. And I read all about her in an article by Ben Goldfarb that appears in this month's edition of the Smithsonian Magazine. Marie Fish was born in 1900 in Paterson, New Jersey, and she became one of the first female marine scientists in the U.S. She was an expert in fish eggs and larvae, and she had a long and distinguished career working for government, universities, and research institutions. But she's best known for her research on underwater sounds. From 1948 to 1970, she led the Underwater Sound of Biological Origin project for the U.S. Navy, helping them to understand what they were hearing underwater and to distinguish wildlife sounds from the sounds of enemy submarines. She was a pioneer in identifying and describing a surprising array of sounds that fish make under the water. And she also investigated the physiological mechanisms that allowed fish to make sounds. And quoting Goldfarb from the Smithsonian Magazine article, fish had a knack for description. Sculpin, she wrote, hummed like generators. Seahorses clicked like a person snapping their finger. Herring knocked. Hardtails rasped. Bass grunted. Some species were multi-talented. Toadfish honked like a medley of foghorns to attract mates during the breeding season. Then, upon settling down to guard their eggs, uttered a loud growling sound to ward off trespassers. Chattiest of all was the sea robin, a bottom dweller whose yakking to fish's ears evoked the cackling and clucking of barnyard fowl. Fish's early work in bioacoustics set the stage for the use of animal sounds in music and sound art, and her underwater recordings were used in an album called Gateway Summer Sound by sound artist Anne McMillan in 1978. Fish died in 1989. But one more amazing fact about her is she was the first person in the world to confirm that the spawning ground of the mysterious American eel was in the Sargasso Sea. So it was a pretty epic discovery if you are a fish geek. Right now, we're listening to a piece from accordionist and electronic music pioneer Pauline Oliveros. This is an excerpt from the track Lear from the seminal album Deep Listening, which was recorded in a giant concrete cistern nearly 200 feet in diameter and 14 feet high, located in Fort Worden on Washington State's Olympic Peninsula. In 1988, Oliveros and trombonist Stuart Dempster recorded the album in the cistern, which is dubbed the Cistern Chapel. And the cistern has a 45-second reverb, and Oliveros wrote in the liner notes that the cistern itself was played as an instrument by the musicians. Napoleon Oliveros was a pioneering electronic musician and composer, and over the course of her long career, she often performed with the environment, composing with both the space and the place she was playing, and with natural sounds. Her work has been inspirational to many, and she has developed the practice of deep listening and founded the Deep Listening Institute that's now located at the Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in Troy, New York. Oliveros lived in the Hudson Valley, and she was a prominent citizen of the city of Kingston, and that city dedicated the Deep Listening Plaza to her memory after she passed away a few years ago. So let's spend a few minutes listening in on this piece, which is entitled Lear. You're tuned in to Echolocation on WGXC 90.7 FM in Greene and Columbia Counties in New York's Hudson Valley, and on the World Wide Web at wavefarm.org. I'm your hostess, Elizabeth Lo Judas, and we just heard an excerpt from the piece Lear from the album Deep Listening, featuring Pauline Oliveros. And next, we're going to take a listen to another pioneering sound artist with roots in the Hudson Valley, Anaya Lockwood, who is a musician and composer originally from New Zealand, who is a contemporary and collaborator of Pauline Oliveros. Lockwood came to the U.S. in the early 1970s and taught for many years at Vassar College in Poughkeepsie. She's a sound artist who is well known for her works that incorporate environmental sound. She has recorded sound maps of several of the world's rivers, including the Hudson and the Housatonic. Thank you. We're listening to a track from her 1999 album, Thousand Year Dreaming, Floating World. And reading a little from the liner notes, Floating World is an immersion in place and transience. The composer invited friends who work with environmental sounds themselves and who have a strong sense of place to make recordings for her in places of personal, spiritual significance to them. So it is a collaborative work. From their field recordings, edited but not processed, and other sounds, Lockwood wove the slowly shifting texture, forming Floating World. That was a track from Anaya Lockwood's 1999 album, Thousand Year Dreaming, Floating World. We're listening now to another sound artist who was influenced by Pauline Oliveros, Hildegard Westerkamp. Westerkamp was born in Germany in 1946 and emigrated to Canada in 1968. And reading from her bio, it says, after completing her music studies, her ears were drawn to the acoustic environment as another cultural context or place for intense listening. As a composer, educator, and radio artist, her work centers around environmental sound and acoustic ecology. Her compositions deal with aspects of the acoustic environment, with urban, rural, or wilderness soundscapes, with the voices of children, men, and women, with noise or silence, music and media sounds, or with the sounds of different cultures. And Westerkamp is a founding member of the World Forum for Acoustic Ecology. And this piece that we're listening to is called Talking Rain, and it's from a compilation album released by Irsé Music called Harangue One. Westerkamp writes about this piece, Talking Rain. Rain sounds from the west coast of British Columbia, Canada, are the basic compositional materials for Talking Rain. Through them, I speak to you about this place, the Rain Coast, a lush and green place, made that way by rain, nourished by rain, life-giving rain. The ear travels into the sonic formations of rain, into the insides of that place of nourishment, as well as outside to the watery liquid language of animals, forests, and human habitations. You're listening to Echolocation on 90.7 FM in New York's Greene and Columbia counties and around the world on wavefarm.org. Tonight, we've been listening to work by female ecological sound artists, and we're going to turn now to an Italian sound artist by the name of Maria Lina Zita. And we're going to listen to some of her album Concerts for Bats, which was released in 2007. And Zita began with recordings of bats made by the American researcher William Gannon from the University of New Mexico's Museum of Southwestern Biology. And then she wove recordings of cave ambiences with sensitive music-making didgeridoo, voice, logs, bone whistles, seed rattles, and ringing stalactites to create an accessible but also authentic version of interspecies music. And here's a quote of Zita speaking about her work. "The idea to dedicate sonorous compositions to the acoustic world of bats originated from a sort of admiration for these fascinating and very refined creatures that express themselves in frequencies beyond our ability to hear. The fusion between this type of sonority, the sounds of natural objects, and the vocal modulations has permitted me to travel into the heart of a still unexplored sonorous nature. The bat, icon of the night, has introduced me to the experience of an inaccessible parallel acoustic world, spurring in me emotions that are absolutely unequaled."
Thank you.
We just heard the track Moth from Maria-Lena Zita's 2007 album, Concert for Bats. We've moved on to Antarctica to listen to a piece by Cheryl E. Leonard, who was awarded a grant from the National Science Foundation's Antarctic Artists and Writers Program and spent 5 weeks at the Palmer Research Station collecting sounds for her project, Antarctica, Music from the Ice. And during her time at the Palmer Station, Leonard recorded penguin colonies, elephant seals, as well as what she describes as crackling icebergs and clinking brash ice using hydrophones and condenser microphones. And we're listening to Night Cove Elephant Seals. That was the piece Night Cove Elephant Seals, recorded by Cheryl E. Leonard at the Palmer Research Station in Antarctica. And while we're in the Southern Hemisphere, we are going to listen to a sound artist from Australia, Leah Barclay, who is a composer, researcher, and sound artist working at the intersection of art, science, and technology. She specializes in electroacoustic music, acoustic ecology, and emerging fields of biology, exploring environmental patterns and changes through sound. Barclay is the president of the Australian Forum for Acoustic Ecology, vice president of the World Forum of Acoustic Ecology, and she's a postdoctoral research fellow at the Queensland Conservatorium Research Centre, where she's leading a portfolio of research exploring the value of acoustic ecology as a socially engaged, accessible, interdisciplinary field that can inspire communities across the world to listen to the environment. And we're going to listen to a piece called Confluence from Transient Landscapes, which is a collection of works from the installation Sound Mirrors. And quoting from the website, Sound Mirrors is an immersive environment that responds to significant rivers across the world. And throughout 2009 and 2010, Barclay traveled through Australia, India, Korea, and China, capturing the sound of rivers and their surrounding communities. And the resulting work is an ephemeral experience that slides through vivid landscapes and rich cultural traditions.
Thank you.
You're tuned in to Echolocation on WGXC 90.7 FM in the York's Hudson Valley and at wavefarm.org on the World Wide Web. I'm your hostess, Elizabeth Lowe Judas, and we've been exploring female ecological sound artists on today's show. We just listened to the piece Confluence by Leah Barclay. And we're going to listen now to an up-and-coming environmental sound artist from British Columbia by the name of Etsu. Etsu is a 2S Tahltan and Inland Tlingit sound artist, songwriter, and composer who was born in the Yukon Territory in British Columbia. And Etsu has been performing nationally for the better part of 10 years in festivals, galleries, and living rooms. And currently, their art practice centers on weaving electronic soundscapes with audio manipulation while drawing on classical songwriting elements. And we're going to listen to a few tracks off of their 2019 album, Kaimeani. We're going to hear What Does Nation Mean? Then we'll hear Stone Woman, and finally S. Kaimeani.
Dissect God's truth. True story.
I am Inland Tlingit.
Yes. Yes. Let's talk about Tlingit. What your nations are.
Okay. Raven and Crow and Raven.
Where'd you know I'm from?
The Yukon?
No.
North?
Who are you?
That's easy sass.
What's your name?
Kira.
One second. Can you talk about what your nations are?
Raven and Crow and Raven.
Are those your nations or your clans?
Clans.
What nation are you?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
What does nation mean? What does nation mean?
Are you Haida?
No.
Are you Niska?
No.
What nation are you?
Tahltan.
Mm-hmm. And?
Tlingit. What does nation mean? What does nation mean?
Tlingit.
What does nation mean?
What kind? Do you live in the ocean or do you live in by the rivers?
Rivers.
Which is inland, right? So you're inland Tlingit?
Yes.
Can you say that?
I'm inland Tlingit.
Say I'm inland Tlingit.
I am inland Tlingit. I am inland Tlingit. I am inland Tlingit. I am inland
Tlingit. What? I don't know, just like recording, talking.
Oh, okay. Okay. What are you recording for?
Well, I'm recording for my, so what my project is right now is, or maybe I'll just show you.
Everything that was taken from us.
Because our families, when they were in the schools, they just got shot down for asking things, or they got in trouble, they got like beat for that. So now that old way is like all misconstrued. It's all like there's like a hurt around it, you know, so it's hard. It's like people react in the same way sometimes when you ask too many questions. They react like those nuns did. They react like those nuns did. They react like those nuns did.
Mom, Betty's dead by now.
This old song, that's how they killed him a long time ago.
Did I tell you she shot for Grizzly? Did I tell you she shot for Grizzly? Did I tell you she shot for Grizzly? That's her old trap line road, do you know where she? That's her old trap line road, do you know where she? That's her old trap line road, do you know where she? That's her old trap line road, do you know where she? That's her old trap
line. F Kimma is my house.
That's how they killed him a long time ago.
It's how tough Mama was. Et lag et
kjært
nille. Nå står dog og kjært nille.
Is Cha like your my granddaughter?
We listen to her just like she's shooting in a war machine gun. Og that's my mother. Kjært nille. We listen to her just like she's shooting in a war machine gun. Mama.
She's your grandma, I say. Let's talk to her. Your cha, mecha.
Mom, Edla means mom. I'll tell him, tell Tana.
Love. Love. In English, we say love. In Taltan, you say Shlani Menislin. In Taltan, you say Shlani Menislin.
My little boy, we make son of. You know, Joe Collins.
They had Indian spoon, they called it. Horn, moose horn spoon.
Is my name Taltan?
It's Taltan, yeah. It's Taltan, yeah.
Look down. It's a gina who it's a gina
who
is my name Tata?
It's when you're loving up somebody. It has several meanings. It's when you're loving up somebody. It has several meanings. It's a good expression, like something happened. Go, oh, it's you. Or you love up somebody, it's you. And that's what your Indian name means.
He used to dance. as Joe Carly himself. Boy, if he hit, he gonna break that table. He don't like we sing for him.
Thanks for listening to Echolocation tonight. I'm your hostess, Elizabeth Lowe Judas, and we have spent the last hour listening to some ecosonic pioneers, sound artists who have been at the forefront of ecological sound art. Tonight we listened to Pauline Oliveros, Anaya Lockwood, Hildegard Westerkamp, Cheryl E. Leonard, Maria Lina Zita, Leah Barclay, and Ezio. And we also learned about a pioneer in the field of bioacoustics, Marie Poland Fish. And if you'd like to learn more about any of the artists and scientists that we featured in tonight's show, head on over to our Echolocation Facebook page at echolocation/WGXC. And we'll have a complete listing of everything that we listened to tonight. And join us again for our summertime edition of the show, which will happen on the next fifth Thursday of the month, which will be July 29th. And probably around that time, we might be listening to some summertime insects, even perhaps some cicadas, because it's going to be the emergence of the 17-year cicada in parts of the eastern U.S. this summer. So it should be another noisy one. And we're going to let the frogs take us out tonight. Thanks to everybody for listening, and keep your ear to the ground.